Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. This week, we are covering Otakon 2019, their 25th year doing this con. Again, from what we've been told, this is one of the biggest anime convention in the country. And it's one of the few conventions that are out there, that is out there, that is strictly one genre, or I should say geared to one genre, and that is anime and anime culture. Let's just get into it and everything else, because this year things seemed a little bit off, not just at the convention, the day that we were there, but some of the goings on about the convention, behind the scenes, and our end of the behind the scenes, because I always think that there are several sides to the convention panel. One is the ticket holder, like most of you out there might be, or say about 90% of you out there are ticket holders, because those of you who might listen might be vendors, might be guests. I don't mean ticket holder. You'll hear me say that. There is a difference between guests and ticket holders. The invited guests are the celebrities, maybe a few people that the convention wants to bring in for a table. So there's the ticket holders, which is most of you, the guests or the invited guests, the press, and the convention staff themselves. But those who deal mostly with behind the scenes in some capacity is the vendors, the invited guests, the press, and the staff. Now, a big convention like this has many departments. Like, there's a section of staff that deals strictly with vendors. Another section deals with the invited guests, so forth and so on. Another section deals with folks like me, press. Now, I'll also side note here, there is going to be some shade tossed at AwesomeCon, because we'll get into that in a little bit. And yes, folks, I am salty still, even though we kind of cleared things up in the past. But I am still kind of salty about it. And I'll get into that in a little later, because there are not just one or two threads. There are several threads, because as I said, this year was kind of odd over the past 2 years. Now, I want to give, for those new listeners tuning in, because I'm sure some of you out there are going to be tuning in to this show for the first time, and I want to give a lot of you out there context. Many, many years ago, back in 2006, 13 years ago, when I first went to Otakon, there were issues that I ran into, problems and bad experiences that I went into. And for the longest time, I was telling folks about those issues, about those problems. And when I started up, or I should say, when I was a part of the Electric Eye podcast many, many years ago, we talked about, me and Big Candy talked about those problems and those issues that we had. And not to mention, about, I want to say, 9 years ago, we knew I don't want to say a top-tier cosplayer, but a cosplayer that was kind of well-known amongst many people. And she was invited to Otakon to do a few panels about cosplay. And when she came back home, she told everybody on Facebook that about her bad experiences that she had with not just the staff, but the volunteers, and the ticket holders that were attending that year's convention. And I want to say it was roughly about 2010-ish, because I was here in Martinsburg at that time. I was at the safe house at that time. Now, fast forward to 2015. We might have even stated back then about kind of, or at least hinted about our bad taste that Otacon left in our mouth back in 2006. Now, fast forward 2 years to 2017, and we know it was about then we decided to kind of, as a show, I spoke to Big Kenny, and he kind of agreed to the fact that we should go bigger, you know, try our hand at some of the bigger conventions, see if we could become press. And that started with, you know, trying out for AwesomeCon, which at that point, we were denied. We just shrugged it off. We were at, because that year's AwesomeCon, we were still under 2 years old. But at roughly June, July, we were just about to hit two years old. And I was looking at the Otacon website for their press credentials and how to apply. And they said, well, in their regulations, you had to be at least 2 years, your program had to be at least 2 years of age. So I decided, you know what, even though there was bad blood, I'm going to try out. And I filled out the application, and I told Big Candy, and he said, and I kind of laughed, with all the kind of bad taste and the saltiness we kind of, and shade that over the many years I've tossed at Otacon, they're not going to approve a little rinky-dink show like the Long Coat Mafia podcast. But sure enough, a few weeks later, I say a few weeks go by, we get, congratulations, you have been approved for your press credentials at Otacon. And I was surprised. As a matter of fact, I was laughing my rear end off because, well, I didn't expect it. So, I considered that as a kind of an olive branch as in regards to the fact that, in a way, if Otacon did hear our bitterness, our saltiness, and the shade that we were tossing in the past, they were kind of willing to extend the olive branch and say, come, let us change your mind. Let us, you know, we want to show you how the culture of, or I should say, the Otacon culture has changed since you were last a part of our convention. And sure enough, if you went back in our archives by going to thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com and listened to that coverage from 2 years ago, and you'd hear me say that they changed my mind. And I was impressed. I liked it. And it was our first convention. And I want to say we've, in regards to trying to cover Otacon, has somewhat improved. But in a ways, I'm going to kind of rag on myself in a way due to limitations we can't fully improve ourselves with Otacon like we should. And but we try, we always are polite with them. But when it came to year 2, 2018, last year, which again you could check out on our through our website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and you'd be able to hear kind of how the positivity and the part 2 in regards to how the fact that it's changed and how we were surprised that we got approved for year 2. Now, that brings us to right now, year 3. 2019, their 25th year. Just that the fact that this was their 25th year. And one of the things we didn't expect, because I put the application in on maybe a little bit more than a month ago. It was like late May, early June that I put the application in for press at Otacon. So that was my first indication that maybe that I put it in too late. They're not going to email us, give us, you know, permission. Not to mention, one of the things that I put up for as a reference point in regards to what they need to approve, which is kind of proof that we talked about Otacon, that we've put up videos and so forth and so on. One of the things I included in all that is the video we did for Dobbs. The music that he gave us was minimal effort. So, and because we used Otacon footage, I figured, hey, why not put that up as a reference point? And I was like, you know, I was cocky in this. I was cocky in that application. I wasn't expecting Otacon to say yes, especially three times in a row. And sure enough, roughly about June 27th hit. That was about a month prior. And I didn't think, you know, it was getting down to me, it was getting down to the wire. And I was thinking that normally they would have emailed me by now in regards to getting approved or not. And so I went onto their website, found out their email for their press credentials to ask a question. My main question was that I didn't hear anything yet. And one way or another, if I was approved or not. And I pretty much stated to them, it's like, if we're pretty much not approved, no hard feelings. And honestly, that was my thought. No hard feelings. We had two great years. And them saying, sorry, not this year. We're telling you no. And I would have came on to one of the shows saying, hey, we were denied. You know what? No hard feelings with them. You know, no skin off my back. I'm not going to be dissing them ever again. You know what? I'm still not going to diss Otacon. And for those of you who've been listening for a while, know for a fact I'm not one of those folks that kisses a lot of rear end in regards to this show. I've proven that on many occasions with a lot of folks. But the thing is, we got a email back from the people that run the press section of Otacon. But the thing is, I sent out that email, and about a few days later, I think it was roughly the June 30th, we get an email. Let me bring that email up, because it was a fun email to get, because I thought it was odd in regards to everything. It was the first email I got. I was doing my laundry that day, and I get an email from press relations, and I wasn't thinking anything of it, because it was just an odd email. And the email pretty much said, reviewing your podcast for 2018, they wanted to confirm the show's understanding of turnstile numbers is correct in regards to everything about how many times people leave and come back at Otacon. And they just gave a link in regards to the stats, and pretty much they were confirming what we were saying in our show, which was kind of very interesting, very, I wouldn't say humorous on our part. It was like, hey, we got something right. As I've stated many times before, I talk a lot of trash. I talk a lot of BS out there. And I ask all of you out there, if I'm talking BS, if I'm not talking logical, you're more than, if you want, call me out. I'm the one that's like putting myself out there in regards to a lot of information. If I'm wrong, call me out. And they pretty much, I don't want to say called me out, but what they did was they verified what I was saying. And that was like very good, very interesting. And the next thing I know is about 5 minutes, not even 5 minutes after that, as I was kind of chuckling in regards to this email, I get the standard things in regards to, wait, I'm just trying to bring it up. What it was is pretty much, you're getting the, you've been, here's the link to do interview requests. Here's your approval. You've been added to the Register Press email list. And about a few days after that, I get a response in regards to my original message in regard about press pass email, you know, where, you know, if I was approved or denied. And the response I got from that is that they had a backlog of applications for press and other people doing their thing, and they apologize. And the person in the email to me was, your acceptance emails were sent out a couple of days ago, and that they showed the videos that I did for Articon to their staff, and they were, they liked the fact that I gave a good overview. So again, that was smiles on my end that, hey, we're doing something right here. With everything that we've probably done wrong in the past, we've done something right. And I looked forward to being a part of this year's show in every capacity that I could possibly do. And I replied to their reply saying that, thank you so much. I did get the emails. And that's the thing. After that, I did put in for several people. I was approved twice for those emails. I should say, I was approved out of the three people that we did, or I put in for. We were approved twice. Now, here's the thing. We are kind of restricted. I'm kind of restricted here in where I'm at in Martinsburg. Yes, I'm able to get to D.C. Since, for the most part, I am vehicle impaired, it's hard to for me to get to a lot of other conventions in our area. That's why I'm very appreciative to folks like Michelle, Big Candy, and a few others that bring me to events that are very close by. And that helps with me getting content. But if I had more openness or a reliable vehicle, this is not something. Please, folks, Big Candy, Michelle, if you're listening, this is not a dig against you all. But if it was me, if I had more opportunity to go to other events, it's more coverage for all of you out there. But still, I think we're doing a fine job with the local events that we have here in surrounding the Martinsburg area, and that what we can get to via the MARC train. Now, the thing is, speaking of the MARC train, let me give you this little bit of back tidbit. The MARC train is run by the Maryland Transit Authority. At least that's what I believe they are. And I keep hearing that they should be, that, yes, they are. But the fact is, they've been running the MARC train for a period, for as long as I can remember, or at least been living here in West Virginia Panhandle, Eastern Panhandle. And me getting to D.C. using the MARC train is fairly cheap enough. It's been about $12, $13 for the good many years that I've been living in, at least in Martinsburg. And for a round-trip ticket to D.C. and back is $26, which is very cheap. But the main problem is the MARC train does not go from here in Martinsburg to D.C. on the weekends. This poses a problem. Now, and it's one of the things that I would have loved the MARC MTA to do, and turn on the MARC train, at least one train there, one train back on either Saturday and or Sunday. That would be awesome. That would be great, because it would help a lot of folks that can't make it to D.C. during the week have a weekend option to get into our nation's capital cheaply. And hell, if they said Saturday rates are $15 or closer to $20, you know what? I'm getting a $40 ticket there and back on a Saturday. To me, that's still cheaper. Still, that'd be like parking and gas for the week, for the day. Still, I would enjoy it. I would take it up. I'd probably go into DC a little bit more often. But no, the MTA is like, no, we're not doing that. And there are some of you out there that might say, why don't you take Amtrak? That's the thing. Amtrak is very unreliable. Very unreliable. Because we have an Amtrak train that does go into DC and back, and it goes, leaves here around noonish, so therefore it gets to roughly DC around 2, and it leaves DC around 3 p.m. to come back this way to head towards Chicago. So what's the point of me going to DC using the Amtrak on a daily basis? And there's still some of you out there that say, well, you could stay in D.C. Well, when you're on a very limited budget and hotels in D.C. are $200 plus a night, and I'm going to be there for 2 nights, 3 nights, I'm not going to have $400 or $600 plus food money for those 2 days just to be at that show. Yes, I could probably take the train back, but still the Amtrak back, but it being a night or two, no, it, to me, that's, I wouldn't do that. Even when I still had wasn't vehicle impaired, and I was going into Baltimore on a yearly basis for Baltimore Comic Con, I would drive there and back every day because I'm not staying in a hotel in Baltimore, and because of it's within driving range. But there was stuff like that. That's some of the things that I could pick up. Other folks could say you could drive into close to and get the subway in, but either way, I still need to get somebody to have me get down there to that location, come back, and do that again when it's closer to me time for me to come back home. So either way, no, and I don't want to put somebody like that out of their way and everything else. That's just not me. If it was strictly me, that'd be one thing. And for another thing, when it takes me about over an hour just to get to that location to take a subway in, no, to me, that's just stupid and not worth it. I'd rather use the MARC train. It's a direct route there, direct route back. I don't have to travel like way south of Winchester just to do that sort of thing. So that posed, not to mention, the price for everything else, MTA... The Maryland I'll just say MTA from now on. Over the past several years, has been constantly threatening to raise the price of a ticket from roughly $13 to $15 because of maintenance and that it runs into West Virginia and back. So, to help help kind of reduce costs or keep costs down, West Virginia, a good many years ago, put it up to vote for the public to vote by saying, do you all want us to give, I think the deal was, we'll give the MTA something like $2 million a year and be on their board to help represent West Virginia in regards to the MTA and everything else, and help, and us doing this will keep those ticket prices low and keep the MARC train in West Virginia so all of you could go to DC and back and might have some additional benefits down the line. And at that time I was thinking, yeah, maybe there will be finally a Saturday run or a Saturday and Sunday run going into DC with the MARC train. Thank you, West Virginia. I'm gonna vote yes. But since then, and this article came out just after I put in the interview request to Otacon. And the article that came out in the local paper was, West Virginia hasn't been keeping the deal. And you know what? We might be either reducing runs to our national capital or canceling those runs altogether. We don't know when we're going to be doing this or what's going to happen. We don't know. So I was like, oh, crap. Therefore, there might be a chance last minute that I'm not going to be able to get into D.C. at all because of the West Virginia government's blatant stupidity. And not to mention, I don't know if there was going to be three runs to D.C. and three runs back from D.C. that I could finagle if I have a later interview or not. Turns out, my one interview that I had scheduled or was approved for was going to be on that Friday at about 4:10. And because of this aspect of this lateness and the unsureness of the train going to our nation's capital and back, was up in the air, I figured I had to politely cancel this interview. And the other one was on a Saturday. And during the other, this aspect of things, I didn't get word yet in regard, at this time we were getting word that there was quite a possibility that the 4-State Punk Rock Flea Market was going to be canceled. And there might be other things that I need to do this past Saturday. And that second interview was going to be scheduled on Saturday, which I didn't know until I got to the show itself. That's one of the things I want to get into. Even though I enjoyed my experiences, there was a lot of great people out there. I got to put up the one gentleman's photo I took. A lot of people that we spoke to, or say I spoke to while there, were a great bunch of people. Very polite, very wonderful folks. We spoke to somebody in a Deadpool. It was like a combination type of cosplay. It had he was wearing a Deadmau5 type of mask. He had like a Van Helsing coat with Full Metal Alchemist gloves with Trigon guns. He was just dressed up just to enjoy himself. That's why. No real orientation or aspect like that. He just wanted to dress up and cosplay just for the sheer fun of it and have these epic, you know, mishmash and mashups all on his person. So I can't blame him. He was having fun. So we saw him, I think I saw him last year, but I didn't get a chance to speak to him until this year. So he was a great guy. I got posted photo up, and it was that. But one of the things that kind of irked me, and this is part of the oddness, when we finally got in, Otacon didn't do this year. Yeah, they emailed us a lot, but there are times that we were there. When I was there, I was still getting emails from Otacon saying, hey, this is going to be happening at 1. This is going to be happening at 3. This is going to be happening at 5. If you want to sign up for this, you know, stop by the press relations booth and sign up or reply to this email, so forth and so on. That was not happening. We got some emails that in regards to what was canceled, what was not, what press conference was going to be available, and not, like I said, we were, I was kind of told in regards to one person that we put in for, in regards to an interview, we were going to be let know that night. I didn't get informed about it until the next day, when I was there, asking about the press lounge at about 11 o'clock. And about 2 hours after I was officially in the building to wait for my press pass to be picked up. That's kind of like, really? but that's not the only thing. This year, even though it got picked, the con itself picked up later in the day. It was a very hustle and bustle type of day in regards to the people coming in and out. The thing is, the when I approached the convention center on my way to pick up my press pass, the lines outside in the previous years was huge. Huge! I'm talking huge! This year, there was like, it seemed like maybe 24 people were outside waiting about 8 o'clock in the morning compared to recent years, but still, there was big hustle and bustle. The thing is, but to step it back a few, when I stepped off the train at in our nation's capital, the Union Station was, even most years when I've went there and gotten at the train station at about 7:15 in the morning, is a hustle and bustle place. It was like Deadsville. Literally, it was like Deadsville. Not to mention, they took about 80% of the seats that were in Union Station out for some ungodly reason. Instead of like having about 36 seats to sit in, or, you know, a few dozen, let's say about, instead of having 70, 80 chairs by gate A, they only had maybe about 50 or 20. It seemed like it was way cut less. It was way less than it was last year. And it was like, when I saw it, I was like, you know, this is going to hurt when I come back from the show to go home, and I want to sit down for maybe about 10, 15 minutes while I'm waiting for the announcement that the train to head back here in Martinsburg is ready to board. Because they cut a whole mess of the seats down. So, that's that oddness and that. But, going back to Otakon, like I said, I had fun. There were a lot of folks in regards to this. Like the walking tour, the press preview. When I was picking up my pass, my press pass, there was kind of talk that I kind of overheard in regards to, are there going to be a press? This was them talking. Are we doing a press tour of the dealer room this year? It was like, yeah, I think so. We'll just have to speak to those who are dealing with the dealer's room, the industry room. So, that was that thing, you know. It's like, which made me think, is there actually going to be a press tour of the dealer room this year, the industry room this year, like there was the past 2 years? But, again, during my walking around the convention center, getting photos, starting the videos, I was getting no emails in regards to if there was one or not. So about 11:30, about 11:15, I wandered up to where the press lounge is to kind of just sit down for a little while, have something to drink, and just wait for them to say, all right, who's going to be here for the press tour of the dealer industry room? And during this time, I met this wonderful old couple, and I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. They had to be in their 70s at least, if not their 80s, and they were registered, I think, as if not as press, but they were registered as photographers as well, I think. And they were gung-ho about this. And I was talking about them, and they said, yeah, we were covering AwesomeCon early this year. And I went, wait, what? Now, I didn't get their numbers and their analytics from them to see how much bigger that they are. And just that the gentleman stated that he does a write-up every year. I'm not sure if this is just his organization or he represents somebody bigger. But just that this is where I'm going to toss shade at AwesomeCon. And I will toss shade at AwesomeCon. If these folks, these senior citizens, Very energetic senior citizens. Bless their heart. And I mean that. Are able to be a... If they're as big as I am, if not a little bit bigger, and you all freaking approved them for whatever reason, but you don't want to approve us who work their butt off every year for not just 4-State Comic-Con, but Otakon as well. We've been covering Otakon for the past, including this year, past 3 years with video, audio, like this episode, photos, and everything else. Is it because we keep talking trash to you and throw shade at you? You know what? Otakon told us when we were there, hey, we're for fans by the fans. And you know what? If that's not what they are for, I kind of believe it because they approved us. They approved the Long Coat Mafia podcast. They let us cover their show the best way we could for the past 3 years. They know what we're going to be bringing to the table. We know, they know how hard we're going to try to make sure we live up to their standards. You, on the other hand, you don't want to give us a shot. That's what pisses me off, and that's what pissed me off last year, and that's what pisses me off this year in regards to it. Even though I didn't give a crap, I still applied. Is it because we throwed shade at you and that you guys weren't doing a good job? You're scared of a little bit of a bad press or a little bit of a negativity? You know what? Otakon wasn't scared of the negativity that and the shade we were tossing in regards to them. They extended an olive branch and changed our minds. My question to you, AwesomeCon, is when are you going to toss that olive branch to us? When are you going to hold it off, hold that olive branch out to us, and ask us to change their mind? We want you to change your mind. You're not going to do that. We want you to do that, but you're not. Otakon took that step. We're proud of them for doing that. Despite some of the issues that we had, which we'll get into in a moment. One of which is the fact that there is no... If you look on their website, which is pretty much otakon.com, when you looked at their guest list, there was no real aspect of who was going to be there Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Meaning, on a bigger show like a Philadelphia, a Wizard World, or a Baltimore Comic Con, or even an AwesomeCon, there are guests that are usually there just Friday, or there's some guests that are there all weekend, and there are some guests there just Saturday, or just Sunday, or just Saturday and Sunday. So there's no way of knowing which guests are there all weekend long. But it just makes you think that a lot of the guests that are there, the invited guests, are there all weekend long. If that's the truth, you know, that makes them one of the better shows out there. Because if these guests there are all weekend long, it serves up to the folks that could only make it on a Saturday. Meaning, like, if there's a person like myself that can make it only on a Friday, then I'm able to get the people that I want in regards to an autograph right then and there. Now, and if I could only make it on a Saturday, same deal. I could get those people that I want on a Saturday. Now, the other thing is, I think one of the gripes that I had last year is that there was no schedule to us on who's doing interviews when. Their guests, in regards to, they have well over 24 guests at this event. At least 24 guests. But the thing is, there was no aspect of what, you know, if I wanted to put in for a particular guest. I'm going to pull one of them up. Let's say Diana Garnett. If I want to speak to her, there's nothing on our end that says she's only going to be doing interviews on Saturday or interviews only on Sunday or interviews only between 10 and 11 on Friday. There's no idea in regards to that. So that something like that would help somebody like me or somebody else that is registered press, because they might want to catch a panel for their show in regards to informing their listeners in regards to if they have more anime fans tuning into their show, then there's a certain panel that they want to attend to get information for their listeners. It would help them schedule their day, their weekend at Otakon. It's very confusing, and it would be nice to handle that information up front. I'm nitpicking, but I love to nitpick sometimes. Now, the other thing I want to commend them for, I don't know if I did it last year or I spoke about it last year, and that aspect is the price for the to get into Otakon. When we first went to Otakon back in 2006, the weekend pass was like $65, I think. But being a new location for one, or the fact that time has gone by, it's been 13 years total since our first initial visit of Otakon, if you want to look at it like that, the price has gone up. So again, don't know if it's due to time or the fact of location change, because they are in our nation's capital instead of Baltimore, and the weekend pass is $100 for the weekend. But if you pre-register by a certain date, it's $5 off at $95. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is that Otakon doesn't look at the registration fees or the price to get into the convention as a ticket price, like what Baltimore Comic Con or Wizard World or an Awesome Con would tell you. Otakon refers to what they do, that $100, as a membership. Now, which allows you to have attend their yearly meetup, which is Otakon in our nation's capital. Now, since it's been a long time, I think back in 2006 when I got my ticket, one of the perks of having a membership to with Otakon is, or at least not just getting in the door, was, but I think the website might have had a forum or something like that at that time, and there are a few things you could look at and see through the website. But since then, Facebook came into play, because back in 2006, we still had something a lot of you young folks don't remember, and that was MySpace. And MySpace didn't really handle forums that well. There were forums on MySpace, but you weren't really there. Or at least they weren't as easy to get to as Facebook or Reddit was. Now, we have Facebook, and there's Facebook groups that you could hop in on. And there is like Reddit, and I don't know if, I'm sure there's an Otakon subreddit. You have these external free forums that are out there available to anybody. Not to mention, if there's videos on YouTube like the ones that we've posted up ourselves, fans could talk about their experiences in the comics section on YouTube. Not to mention Instagram as well and Twitter. These social media platforms have gotten bigger over the past 10 years. So I don't know if they got rid of the actual special perks on the website, but the thing is, Otakon's not the only one to consider it not tickets, but memberships. I'm not exactly sure what other shows do it, but the ones that I'm familiar with, it's tickets. So, the thing is, let's continue with that. But one of the things that I might have talked about it last year, in the first year we went, is that they are now offering single day rates, or what they call quote-unquote trial memberships. And their trial memberships, to me, for the weekend price of the three-day weekend, or their full membership, or their supporting membership at $100, is a little pricey. But the thing is, their Friday prices, or their daily prices, are like this. Or their trial membership prices go like this. If you wanted a Friday pass, it's $50. If you wanted a Saturday pass, it's $60. If you wanted a Sunday pass, it's $40. Now, out of curiosity, I walked around. I used my fingers to walk around the internet to look at some of the cons that are close by, or relatively close by. Now, Wizard World Chicago. I did some research in regards to this a few days ago. There was a Wizard World in Philly. Their tickets were like $15 for a Friday, but $25 for a Saturday or something like that. But for Wizard World Chicago, which is next month in August, their four-day admission is $100, but that is 4 days. Their Thursday admission is $35. Their Friday admission is $45. Their Saturday admission is $55. And their Sunday admission is $44. Which is, Thursday and Friday is a little bit cheaper. But there's still, I want to say that's the area, but it's still relatively expensive. $55 and $45 is kind of expensive for those type of days. Granted, it's Chicago, but when we look at something like Baltimore. Now, Baltimore is strictly a comic book convention. Yes, they have a few media guests every now and again, but here's the thing. Their three-day pass is $65. 3 days. 3 days. Their Friday pass, Friday only, is $25. Their Saturday only is $35. And their Sunday only is $30. So, either way, Baltimore Comic-Con is cheap. We have no grudge against Baltimore in any way, shape, or form. But I'll say this. Baltimore Comic-Con and Wizard World also offer what they call VIP packages. And for their price, yeah, they're more than what Otakon offers for a three-day pass, but you're getting extra perks. Like, because I'm looking at the ticket prices for Baltimore Comic-Con right now. Their VIP admission package is $165. $175, I'm going to round it up due to taxes and stuff and fees. But you're getting, extra goodies. It's a three-day pass. So there's the $65, plus you're getting a t-shirt, and you're getting extra gifts, like the yearbook, which is like $25, a shirt's $25. So you're getting extra stuff, and extra perks. And with something like Wizard World, and which, let's say, they have just a priority four-day admission, which is $140, and it has just four-day admission, dedicated priority check-in, collectible badge and lanyard, early entry to the show floor. discount, local show floor, local and show floor discount package, priority lines for autographs and photo ops. And that, and still, admissions, personal author, websites like Craigslist, eBay, and just details. And you know what? I want to see something here. As much as I've been ragging on AwesomeCon, I want to see what their ticket prices are. Awesome. No, I have to spell it correctly. And let's go down to AwesomeCon. I want to see what their ticket prices are, if they still have them up, because I don't think they'll still have them up from, because they're usually a take them down when, no, they don't have, they don't have the tickets on sale. They'll be on sale this fall. So I can't really give you the comparison to something like AwesomeCon being in the same city. So there was other things that I noticed, or say, one of the fun thing. Let me just say this: one of the fun things that happened, I want to say, either on Saturday or the fact that it happened after I left on Friday, is that a pigeon kind of wandered into the convention center, and it became the convention's meme in regards to this. I posted up the or I shared the photo on my personal timeline, and just that folks were making the same kind of wisecracks, like I don't think it the costume is screen accurate, and so just fun stuff. The people relaxing and laughing out, you know, a pigeon walking in. But one of the things that did happen this year that I also want to bring up is some of the issues that people. I'll save a lot of those issues for part two, because we don't have the numbers in, and the convention, the attendee irritability has not risen to the surface yet to me to report on or back up on. Was the food and drink issue, is this is not an Otakon issue, it's the convention center issue. There were a lot of issues happening with the convention center. Rumors that there was a strike going on outside because of some of the things that were going on inside with the convention center itself, the staff there, that there was also a change up in the catering service that handles the convention center. So, and they were adamant that you can't bring anything from outside to eat or drink. And some people were considering, theorizing that this was due to the fact that people were bringing in like Subway sandwiches and stuff. But from what I was seeing, they were confiscating or telling people to get rid of like small, like the single serving bags of like Lay's potato chips and any coffee that was being brought in from outside, or like small bottles of soda that you could get at a vending machine. The thing is, it was the same. I agree with some of the same folks that were bringing up the concerns. Like, what if you're a diabetic? Like, you're going to spend $5-$10 on a drink, in regards to getting something at the convention center that is going to be half the price, if not less than half the price, outside the convention center. So there, that's that. And it's like, yeah, and I kind of agree with that. It's a lot of folks don't want to buy convention center food, because it's like, yeah, I'll take a sandwich, a pretzel, bag of chips, and two bottles of soda, please. Okay, that is $64.95 plus tax. Wait, what? And so that's why, you know, even I myself, I kind of attached a empty water bottle to my pack, that way I could at least go to a water fountain or sink and get some water and fill it up and have something to drink. That's that. And the other thing I had an issue with was our because I kind of skipped over it, to go back to it, because we do have show ADD on here at the Long Coat Mafia podcast, was the press preview and the dealer room, because I want to tie that into, it's a great way to tie both in together. We, as I was waiting, that, like I said, that old couple that I spoke to, left to take more photos and to kind of look around, again, because it was about, a little after 11 o'clock, maybe about 11:15, I still was hanging around the press green room and press lounge, if you want, depending on what you want to call it. And one other person was, came in from one other podcast or YouTube channel, came in to kind of wait for the press preview, and him and his partner, his co-host, his partner, that they were working with, like, this is weird. This is they're mentioning that going on and on. It's like, this is weird. This is totally not how they were doing this the past few years, especially here in, at this convention center in this location. And I asked, like, wait, what's going on? What's your issue? And they said, they turned to me and said, the press preview, it's not going to be in any minute. It's going to be at 1:30, 2 o'clock. I was like, wait a minute. You're right. That is odd, because according to a lot of the information I've been seeing and the printed material, the dealer/industry room opens at noon, which is about less than a half an hour from now. And they didn't send out the email saying that they're going to be doing a tour. And they said, exactly. And that's kind of like the confusion that was going on. Now, about 11:45, the gentleman comes in from press relations to say, yeah, we're sorry, there was just a mix-up, just thought, like I said, the dude was apologetic as hell, in regards to it. He said there was some confusion, some of us thought the dealer industry room was opening at 2, not noon, so let's do the press preview tour. And in years past, there was like maybe a half dozen of us actually doing this preview tour. This year, there was, including myself, the other YouTuber, and that old couple that was doing it with us, it was five people, and it was seemingly rushed. If you compare the video with this year's video with last year's, yes, it's about the same, the overall start from when the video begins and the end of it is about the same length, but if you go with what at the start of the tour and where he kind of dismisses us is less. We were kind of rushed, and it seemed like by the time we were getting towards the end of the tour, there are people already being released into the dealer industry room, and it just felt that way. You if you guys and gals watched the video, I say numerous times that we are, you know, this is being rushed. I want to showcase some of these folks. I want to be able to, you know, like we did last year, kind of point at like Funimation, and we were at the Dragon Ball Z booth for about 5 minutes last year. This year it was like, come on, let's keep moving. I kept moving behind because I wanted to get shots. I just didn't want to, if I just wanted to walk around real quick, the gentleman could have just dropped us, you know, said, all right, just walk around, go ahead. But it was just very, very weird and rushed, and, you know, it just was felt off. Not to mention, I'm going to say these two things. There seem to be less dealers and industry folk at the dealer room. That's, I want to say, two reasons for that. And I do apologize. Let me just say this. I do want to apologize the fact that I couldn't get to some of the industry folks. It was just a very hectic and odd day for me on Friday there. I promised to do better last time, but next time if we're there for year four. But I want to say this. The reason why it seemed lacking, the dealer industry room seemed lacking, it was two reasons. The first reason why I want to say is, number one, the area that they use is huge. It when it's compared to a place like the convention center in Baltimore, it's just bigger. Bigger than what Baltimore has, and everything seems lost. And because it's bigger, they could easily put more vendors in there. But I think the reason why they don't really do that is that it allows them to, them meaning Otakon, to allow more folks into the dealer industry room and have more free flow around everything. And kind of prevent what we were told, or at least what I was told back in 2006, and which kind of turned me off, it was that, oh, the line you see here going into the dealer industry room is capped, and this is the backup line, and which, if you're a part of the backup line, you may or may not be able to go into the dealer room today. Again, that was 2006. This time around, because of it being a bigger hall, it allows folks to them to have a constant rotation of people in there and it not be crowded as hell. Now, the other reason why it seemed lacking is because a few weeks ago was San Diego Comic-Con, and because of that, a lot of industry folks don't like to do two shows in a row. Which I could see and agree with. Hopefully next year, it's not that way. We get a lot more folks about. But the thing is, my personal aspect in regards to that is like, I expected to see this is just me as a fan. The fact of the matter is, there should have been at least a Battle Angel Alita presence there. Or, you know, some company that, let's say, deals with Battle Angel or has the rights to it. It just came out on DVD. But still, no one. I'm kind of looking at the my book in regards to who puts out the manga for it. But I can't see offhand who puts it out. But the thing is, there should have been more stuff out in regards to giving this a push. Now, like I said, the we saw a lot of folks. Again, the air, the atmosphere around the show, even though we had this odd experience, it was friendly as ever and everything else. A lot of cosplayers, a lot of from all over the spectrums, like from gaming, old school, gaming's old and new. There was like Metal Gear Solid stuff. There was Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. People dressed up as Yu-Gi-Oh. People dressed up for Disney. The standard Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball folks were dressed up. Elaborate stuff, not so elaborate stuff, fun stuff, and everything else were people were dressed up, sharing ideas, taking photographs, talking to one another. Special shout out to, again, the fellow that we saw in the Deadpool mask or helmet. And not to mention, I'm going to shout out to, I know we gave him a tag on Instagram, on our Instagram channel. Again, our Instagram is Long Coat Mafia. Links will be in the description. He gave me his card to tag him, and he goes by Psychic Pictures on Instagram. All one word. And he was there dressed up as Yami from, not Yu-Gi-Oh! Yami, but one of the folks, as I'm going to bring it up because it is kind of eluding me the name of the... He was dressed up as a Yu-Gi-Oh! Character, but he did a great job of it, and it was not just a later Yu-Gi-Oh series. It was the first generation with Yugi. He wasn't dressed as Yugimoto, but he was dressed up as Bakura, and he did a great job with the hair, and he had the dual disc, and he had the Millennium item on his chest that Bakura had. And we did ask him if anybody asked him if it was time to duel. And he smiled and no. I said, hopefully you don't have that today if anybody remembers. And he kind of laughed. He was a nice guy. One of the many nice folks that we did meet there. So, we did have another little bit of weirdness in regards to a couple of folks out there. And that was, that's something different. But I post up a little bit of a meme. I am part of one of the many, many Otacon, folks, groups that are on Facebook. It helps me get some additional news of what's going on and gives me like a person on the street, ticker of what's going on, what the actual, if there's like weird stuff going on or gripes that are going on, it's going to be on the group that I'm in instead of through the Otacon's official Facebook page. So I posted up a meme in this group. I've seen this meme before. Matter of fact, Matt Burns has used this meme before. Pretty much the it's a photo from a convention, and the guy that's in it is dressed in cosplay from, like, the guy from Up, but the movie Up. And the meme says, the words on the meme say, "If you see me at a con, please say hi, introduce yourself, tell me if I know you, I'm old, I forget. If you want a hug, just ask, I'm not as grumpy as I look. Yes, you can take a photo. I want to say hello to you, that's why I come to cons." I posted up to the groups like, hey, if you know, because my profile is basically public. And that way somebody could click on my profile, see who I am, come up to me and say, hey, you're part of the Otacon group. Hi, how you doing? I'm so-and-so. It's like, you know, I'm part of the group too. And maybe I could have gotten, me being press, I could have probably asked them politely if they wanted a photo and, you know, so forth and so on. But someone commented on that meme I post up, and the person, I'm not going to put out names out there, but he stated that, it's like, I missed you at Kinetic Con, which is, I think, a major convention in Connecticut. We're not griping about Kinetic Con, we're not, you know, throwing shade at them. I'm sure that they're a great show, just that they're a bit out of my range. Even if I had a vehicle available, it still would have been way out of my range. I replied to him saying, it's like, I've never went to Kineticon, sadly. Mostly due to Connecticut being way outside my con travel range, yet I hope to see you at Otacon. Still trying to be polite and telling this person, never went. And he replied back to me, stating that the picture is from Kineticon and that he met me there in 2014. And this is when I stepped up in regards to it. And I had stepped up and I told him flat out, I said, I got the photo from Google. And again, I never been to Kineticon, especially in 2014. Like I said, one, Connecticut is way too far for me to travel for a con. Two, I haven't a vehicle available to me to use since 2011. Three, during 2014, I had to scrape funds together to bribe someone to take me and come with me to Baltimore Comic Con. Four, I take the MART train from West Virginia to get into D.C. and back. Five, if I've ever been to Kineticon, again, I never have, there would have been photos on my Facebook profile about it. Because, again, my Facebook profile is public. And he replied, in essence, replied with a kind of a shock emoji, and he said, okay. But that's one of the things about it, you know. I'm dismissed. I just want to tell you some of the oddness about everything. There were other things about that were going on. You know, I'm going to tell them right here. That there was, because I think we, no, I'm going to save it for the second, our second Otacon coverage episode that we normally do. Once we get all the official stuff and some of the complaints and things, we're gathering that information as we speak. So, once that's posted up to us, so, and like I said, I want to give a few shouts. We gave a shout out to Psychic Pictures. We're not sure of his actual name. That's what he goes by. He was dressed up as Bakura. We want to also, I want to shout out, I don't, he's not going to listen to us, but Zero Serenity. We found this guy. He was just coming in. We saw him later in the day. He had about 72 pounds of camera equipment on his back. Lighting, the whole nine yards. This guy, bless his heart, wanted to work the con. He was registered for the con, ready to go, ready to hit the ground running, and everything else. So, bless his heart. Special shout out to you, sir. I know he was working his rear off in regards to it. And we also met for a moment while we were sitting down in press relations. We met a couple of guys from a Mirror Mine. I'm butchering your name. It's a Mirror I'm Media.com, where artistry meets anarchy. The card that we have on it is, I'm going to just say the first part of the name, Philly. Philly, if you're listening, it was fun to meet you and your partner at Otacon this year. Hopefully, we'll meet up with you guys next year. The thing is, the fun thing is, like, we're talking about these guys about past experiences that I had, how Otacon changed my mind and views about them, and how they kind of agreed that the con scene, at least the anime culture overall, the anime community, has changed in the past few years. So, and how it changed for the better. So, I agree with that. So it was fun speaking with these guys and going back with folks, and we had to kind of back off chit-chat because they had two interviews back-to-back and they wanted to get everything together and get in that interview mindset. So, yeah, you saw, you folks, you guys saw me come back closer to about 3 o'clock because another little incident happened. I almost lost the tripod for our camera. So, that was the thing for a little while. I thought I lost it. It turns out it was sitting in the press lounge, right where I left it. So, at least I found it, and it's in good hands, and it's home now. So, it was fun to meet you guys and speak to you guys. I know we spoke to a lot of folks there. We did kind of network a little bit. So, with a lot of folks and a lot of people in the press room. So, hopefully, if any of you folks are listening to me and this right now, contact, email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com or contact us through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. We'd be more than happy to get back with you guys and maybe have a Skype, depending on your location. I'm sure it's way out of state or not local to here, us in Martinsburg. Happy to have you through Skype, or we'll try to figure out something to have it recorded, and or meet with you or do a cross something crossover. So, and that's pretty much our first convention, our first week in regards to our first Otacon coverage episode. I'm going to end it right there and say end it by saying this. If any of you out there who went to Otacon this weekend, whether it be on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, I'm talking to all of you out there that went, not just all 3 days, if you went to it either on Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday, which means if you went on just one of those days, I want to hear from you too. That's right, I want to hear from you too. And if you have a lot to say, I'm willing to schedule you on Skype to sit with you face to, in essence, sit with you voice to voice and have you on telling you firsthand experiences in regards to what you saw, how you've been through the, in regards to anything. If this was your first show, especially if this was your first convention, I would be happy to hear that tale, how your first convention experience went and what you thought of Otakon. So that being said, if you want to do it that way, just you could email us again at Longcoat Mafia, or if you just want to write to us about your convention experience, we'll be more than happy to read these messages on the air. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and we will read your emails on the air because we pin our current episodes to the top of our Facebook page. You can leave a comment in regards to your Otakon experiences and so forth and so on, or your general convention experiences. You can leave them on our Facebook page underneath the pinned post pertaining to this episode. Can't really tell you what to do because Facebook doesn't like that no more. Stay tuned for that in an upcoming episode of what we cannot and can and cannot do on Facebook anymore if the post is true. But if you want to leave it, you can leave a comment down below in the comments in regards to on Facebook, the pin post for this episode. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongcoatMafiaPodcast. If you're listening to us on YouTube, you can always leave a comment down below and leave that like. And while you're on our Facebook page, you can hit that like button. Follow us for daily news, and you can contact us very easy and reply to what we post up on our Facebook page. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. And if you like this episode, don't forget to, again, leave a comment in regards to how you thought Otakon was, or leave a thought in regards to your convention experiences, whether it be Otakon or not. Let us know the convention that you went to, and hit that like button. In regards to YouTube, just do a search for The Long Coat Mafia Podcast. We're the only channel that comes up with that name, so just click on that, hit that subscribe button. What else? Finding our show. If you manage to listen to our show directly from our website, or our direct link, let me say this. We are available on, and you're listening through a desktop or a laptop, and you saw the link and went to our website, which is, folks out there who don't know it, it is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and you're able to get our episodes through iTunes or whatever Apple is calling iTunes nowadays, Stitcher Radio, Spotify, and as always, our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, whereas you can download the individual episodes, then play them in whatever MP3 player of your choice is, whatever it might be. But if you're listening to us on the go, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Google Podcasts, if you use that now, Stitcher, Spotify, the Podbean app, which I prefer. Also, speaking of the Podbean app, I suggest bookmarking our website, which is, again, thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, because just in case Apple gets screwy or YouTube gets screwy, whirly or a little bit screwy, or one of the other places gets a little bit off or can't get you to listen to any of our episodes or snag our episodes, our website is always available for you to go to and snag an episode and play it in your player of choice. Now, we are also on Twitter and Instagram. You can always leave us a message, a DM on Twitter or Instagram, or leave a comment on any of our convention photos on Instagram. Our Both handles are the same, and that's Long Coat Mafia. And while you're on either one, hit that follow button and follow us to see what we're doing, where we're at, what we're seeing, or what we're talking about. I have to start getting back into Twitter. Twitter has been kind of off as of late as well. So, meaning when we try to promote an episode, it's not really doing as much of a reach as it used to. So it's kind of hard to get back into that groove. We've got to do so. We do have two gaming streaming sites that we have to get back into doing. Well, hopefully we'll be starting to do that again shortly. And that is one, our Mixer channel, which is mixer.com/LCMP. And those letters are capitalized. And the other one is our Twitch channel. Our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/TheLongCoatMafiaPod. And none of the things are really uppercased there. So don't worry about that. That's our show for this week. I hope you all, if you did attend Otakon, did enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to send us a message if you went there and what your experiences were. And one of the other things I want to say, one of the things that we didn't see in regards to cosplay was any MST3K cosplay, and that's Mystery Science Theater 3000 cosplay. Because that's one of the things I agree with Sasha, the Princess of Darkness, is that Mystery Science Theater 3000, especially the new one that's been on Netflix, people should be cosplaying it. At least the new stuff. There's the minions are called the Skeleton Crew, and it's an easy cosplay to do. Very easy, very easy, and no one seems to cosplay as this. People were cosplaying the last Airbender stuff from the original Last Airbender anime from Nick. So why aren't they doing these folks? More and more people have to do some obscure cosplay. So, that's it. That's all I gotta say. Next year out there, folks, if you're a cosplayer and you attend, Otakon, we want to see you dressed up as a member of, the Skeleton Crew from Mystery Science Theater 3000 Netflix version. So, Get on it. Heck, maybe I want to see one of you try to dress up as Tom Servo. That would be funny. But I can't really tell you what to do. That's up to y'all. So take care. I'm out. See you next week. It might be, who knows what's going to happen next week. But I do promise you, there is going to be another Otakon coverage episode. I don't mind doing part twos because there's always so much to talk about in regards to Otakon and a major convention like this, and we don't mind covering it. Like I said, overall, I did have a good time, met a lot of great folks. So, take care. I'm out. Peace.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.